This is Diana Cordy with Book Talk. My guest is Gregory White Smith, co-author of Van Gogh, The Life. Welcome to our program.
Well, thank you for having me.
If Van Gogh were alive today, how would he pronounce his last name?
It's a great first question, because we have to clarify this, because there's so many ways of saying it out there. Actually, the way Van Gogh would have said it would be Vincent Van Gogh.
Huh.
Both of the G's in Go, in G-O-G-H, are guttural G's. But what's interesting is that even though it's a small country, Holland has different ways of saying, and they have different sort of dialects within Holland, a much more exaggerated G. But Vincent Van Gogh is what he would have said.
How do you pronounce it?
It's Van Gogh. And it can sound a little pretentious. It's like people who say, well, yes, I was in Paris. You know, and you think, it's Paris. You know, so we just go with the American convention.
In your book, you write, no artist other than Vincent Van Gogh benefits from a dedicated research institution on a scale comparable to an American presidential library. What's so special about Van Gogh?
Van Gogh really does occupy, we think, a unique place in sort of world cultural heritage. You can't really think of another artist who has the universal appeal, is so internationally renowned, and so deeply loved. His images, you know, it's not for nothing that they're on posters in college dormitories and magnets on refrigerators and post-its and postcards. And, you know, there's just, his images are everywhere. Starry Night, the sunflowers. They're known to people who could not name another work of art and often could not name another artist. So it's an incredible universal appeal that has survived. He's been dead now 120 years.
Right.
And is still every much as much a part of our sense of ourselves, the human imagination, as he ever was.
When he died, he was penniless and unknown, right?
Actually, that's part of the myth of Van Gogh, that he died penniless and unknown. The fact is, about 6 months before he died, he got a huge wallop of celebrity. There was a big article in a very prominent Paris art journal saying, this guy, this crazy Dutchman in the south of France who's in an asylum, really is the guy. His is the art that really expresses what we think art should be. He sold his first painting, $1,200, which was the equivalent of $1,200 today, which is, well, it was a lot of money, and he had never sold another painting. And everybody started saying, "This, who is this Dutchman named Vincent?" Because they couldn't pronounce his last name. So they would say, "Who is this Dutchman Vincent?" And the fact that he had been in an asylum, the fact that he had cut off his ear, made him only more attractive and more sort of interesting and more edgy and more out there and therefore more popular. And artists as prominent as Monet said, this is the star. This is the guy to watch.
What was the painting that he sold?
It was a painting called The Red Vineyard, and a painting he had done in Arles when Gauguin was there with him in the Yellow House in 1888. And it was bought by a sister of a person he had known in Arles, a Belgian. And so it was kind of an inside purchase, because the Belgian friend of his, you know, obviously thought something of his art too, and convinced his sister to buy this painting out of a show in Brussels.
Why did he cut off his ear, and why was he in an asylum?
Well, there are a variety of reasons. The immediate cause was he suffered from a mental affliction called temporal lobe epilepsy.
Epilepsy is a neurological disease.
It's a neurological disease, memory, perception.
So how would it affect him?
So he had these terrible seizures in which, as he said, reality sort of opened up. There was just a void between consciousness and reality. He would forget who he was. He would see himself in other people. He would see hallucinations. He would have haunting visions of from his own past. People in paintings would come to life, whether they were paintings he had or paintings from the past. It was terrifying
How did it affect his painting?
Well, that's a touchy subject, as you can imagine, and has been for a long time. Art historians have understandably been resistant to saying that the paintings are the product of a crazy guy, because they somehow think that it diminishes the painting. Somehow, if the artist was crazy or had this affliction, that means the paintings weren't the result of careful ratiocination. You know, they weren't the product of a trained and fully conscious aesthetic judgment and mind, and that somehow was to diminish them. We take a different view of that. We don't think it diminishes the paintings. To understand that they came out of his life, and his life was everything that he was. It was his past, it was his memories, it was his emotional state, it was his psychological state, and it was his mental state, and his physical state, his health, his physical health. So all those things went into making up the life, and all those parts of his life went into his paintings. So his illness was a part of who he was, and who he was is what determined his art.
What's the most interesting fact you found about his personal life that you didn't know before? I should say to listeners who don't know this already, your book is just a little short of 1,000 pages, so a lot of detail.
We like to think of it as a little over 900 pages. It's apparently in publishing 1,000 pages is the kiss of death, and so everybody desperately tries to stay underneath 1,000 pages. The most interesting thing we found about him, it was when we found out that the story, the part of the mythology that talks about how he died,
right,
wasn't right in our opinion. There's this myth. We were talking earlier about this mythology of Van Gogh. Mm-hmm. He cut off his ear. He was unknown in his lifetime. Never sold a painting. Unappreciated. Died in misery of a self-inflicted gun wound. And when we got to that part in the book, we did what we always do, and we did throughout the book, and as we accumulated all the evidence, everybody who had written about it, everybody, all the first-hand accounts, the second-hand accounts, the tertiary accounts, and tried to put them all together.
And you had access to new information as well.
Well, we had access. I think in that particular case, there was nothing new. Everything that we used for our analysis of the death was pretty much in the Van Gogh archives, but had sort of lain there, and its significance was not recognized. But where we came at the problem was we looked at the existing story and the sort of the mythology that's out there, which is that he left the inn where he was staying, and he went out into the wheat fields, and he painted the crows in the wheat field, that wonderful meditation on death, and took a pistol and killed himself, shot himself in the stomach, and then sort of fell over unconscious until it was dark, and then staggered from the wheat field back to the inn where he was staying, and died about 30 hours later after his brother had arrived from Paris, and he died in his brother's arms. And that was the sort of the accepted version. And that story is what we realized as we looked at it closely, as we tried to do every time we entered a new part of his life, is that it didn't hold water. Until in the 1930s, Irving Stone wrote Lust for Life and sort of crystallized all that mythology that had accumulated.
Right.
And then it was really imprinted on the public imagination in the 50s when the movie came out with Kirk Douglas, right, of Lust for Life.
So he sold a painting for $1,200, today's value. What's the most amount of money his works have gotten in auction?
Oh, gosh.
Do you know? How many gazillion billions?
Steve would be the one to answer this definitively, but it's in the $80 to $100 million range at public auction.
Wow, 100 million.
How much has been paid privately is not known. Mm-hmm. But anyways, it's up there. It's up in the very high numbers.
Do you have a favorite of Van Gogh paintings?
I love The Harvest.
Well, thank you. My guest is Gregory White Smith, co-author of Van Gogh, The Life, published by Random House. This is Diana Cordy with Book Talk.